Oh, happy Valentine's Day. And it is, yay, it is love in the Song of Songs. Just want to emphasize that today on Valentine's Day. And we are going to be in primarily chapter 2, which is kind of where we've been in our journey thus far. So we're going to pray and we're going to look into the Word and let the Holy Spirit share with our hearts from the heart of the Lord tonight and wherever you are. Maybe it's today, but we're together with Him. Lord, we just love you and we love you because you first loved us. And with what kind of love? No other human can love like you. You give yourself. You gave yourself all the way into the deepest death ever given, with more love than has ever been released. And you did that, Lord, in a manner to bring us in, not just to receive big hugs and flowers, but to receive all the fullness of your being, that we could be a partaker of you and we could know you from the inside out. And who could fathom the depths of your love? But we say thank you, and we ask that your Holy Spirit would just minister to us as we just come unto you, coming unto you, just to be not just in your presence, but within you, partaking of your heart, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, if you have a Bible, I think it would be helpful if you wanted to open up and kind of looking right at the Word of God, because, you know, the highest authority we want to come up under is the authority of God and His Word, and allowing the third person of the Godhead to bear witness in our spirit, in our inner man, to what the Word is revealing of Jesus, the living one who is spirit and life, alive and a person. So let's look at God's Word together. Chapter 2 in the Song of Songs. And we're going to begin looking at verse 7. Chapter 2 in the Song of Solomon, or some Bibles call it the Song of Songs. Chapter 2 and verse 7 says, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the does of the field, God bless you, do not stir up nor awaken my love until he pleases. Okay, I'm going to read that again. Chapter 2, verse 7. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and by the hinds of the field, or the does of the field, do not stir up nor awaken love until he pleases. So, this is kind of like the end of a certain flow of chapter 2, chapter 1, where there's been a lot of under the apple tree and feasting in the chambers and just a lot of that intimacy that comes as she's coming to know him, you know, and it's been a wonderful, wonderful season. And she's coming out of this time of being with him in the ways that the first portion of chapter 2 speaks of and chapter 1 spoke of. The king has brought me into his chambers. His right arm, his left arm hold me. We've read these and you can read them in chapter 1 and 2. She's coming out of that with this declaration. You know, I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the hinds of the field, do not stir up or awaken love till he pleases. She has this sensitivity to him, and I don't claim to understand the fullness of what the Lord is trying to communicate in that verse. You know, I'm just guessing, but I'm also trying to draw close to the Lord's heart and hear what the Spirit's trying to say about what's going on in God's heart there. But she comes away with this charge to the daughters of Zion. Daughters of Jerusalem also means the daughters of Zion. You know, and she's giving them this charge to not awaken love until he pleases. Now, she's charging them in a very specific fashion. What is she saying when she charges them? She charges them by a gazelle. So wouldn't it be interesting if you're walking down the street and someone, or you're having a meal with someone or a conversation with someone, and they go, by the way, I want to charge you by the hinds and the gazelles. You know, use that ATM machine or, you know, something. And you're like, well, I take your advice, but why do you charge me by the hinds and the gazelles? You know, that's an interesting, you know, way of saying that, you know, to add in a hind and a gazelle. And of course, the word of God is not random. You know, the word of God is not just kind of throwing hinds and gazelles out for no reason in its chargings. There's something's going on, probably in this Shulamite, that makes her, after this, you know, time of loving, to make this charge about hinds and gazelles. And she says this charge in the name of hinds and gazelles is, do not awaken love until he pleases. Okay, so there's a lot to ponder. Maybe ask the Lord, what is it about a hind or gazelle that makes us want to charge someone to not awaken love till he pleases? By the hinds and the gazelles. So my thought, which means nothing, but I shall share it with you as a form of just contemplating together, is that maybe she's going, you know, he's in the high places. He's like a hind. He's sensitive. I don't know, but there's something where I don't want to awaken what's in him until he pleases. And maybe it's something that they can be easily spooked. You know, maybe that's it. It could be, I don't know, but that could be something, because you can really easily scare, you know, a hind or a gazelle. And to not awaken till he pleases, you know, there's a tenderness there. There's a sensitivity there. And again, it's coming out of this period of intimacy that's been happening for a chapter and a half since the beginning of the letter, the book, Song of Songs. So she has this charge now between verse 7 and verse 8 in chapter 2. An interesting thing happens that I just kind of, as I was preparing for class tonight, felt like the Holy Spirit kind of drew my attention to. So looking at verse 8, which is the next verse, kind of an interesting thing. The voice of my beloved. So now she's hearing something. She's just been charging the daughters of Zion not to wake up love, you know, with great wisdom and sensitivity. Now, all of a sudden, in her experience, the voice of my beloved, behold, he comes. I guess he woke up. She's probably going, I charge. He just woke up. Behold, he comes, leaping on the mountains, skipping on the hills. And here's the big one here. My beloved is like a gazelle. Yeah. Mm. Now she's been charging him by the gazelles not to wake him up until he pleases. And here comes the gazelle leaping on the mountains. So my next thought is, I guess he pleased. Yeah. It seems like he got done awake, woke up and started leaping, because there is that gazelle. So, but he's standing behind her wall, this gazelle that's been leaping on mountains, skipping on hills. I'd love to see that. A gazelle skipping on hills, leaping on mountains. Isn't that a beautiful visual? What do you feel when you think of a gazelle leaping on a mountain or skipping on a hill? Almost like a calf let loose from the stall. Just, isn't it almost like fresh life just springing forth? Isn't there just a beauty to it? And a vibrance to it. It's really some kind of a picture, isn't it? And so she's seeing this. And okay, so for this gazelle to have woke up and started leaping, his next activity is a little different than his former activity. Now he all of a sudden is standing behind a wall looking through a window. So you have to think, why is this wonderful, glorious leaping gazelle awakened from his slumber, stopped leaping on mountains to look through a window and stand by a wall? But what do you feel might be the reason this lovely creature bouncing around on the high places like a little mountain goat leaping. Why is he all of a sudden peeking through a window and standing behind a wall? What might could be the reason that that happened? I mean, in my mind, the progression of a gazelle leaping on mountains isn't all of a sudden, let's just take a break and stand behind a wall for a minute, look at windows. Maybe smell some flowers. I don't know. Something caused him to stop leaping for a moment. And maybe something in his heart went, oh, remember it's Valentine's Day, but we're talking about his Valentine. Oh, I'm alone. I hate leaping alone. I'm a lover gazelle. I'm a Valentine's Day gazelle. And I have to leap on these beautiful mountains by myself. I'm going back down to my beloved and peeking at her. Like, oh, I'm sorry you had to stop leaping, but wow, look at that heart. He actually stopped leaping because he missed her. He missed her. It's so funny because in chapter 2, verse 7, she's telling everybody not to wake him up, almost as if she's awake and he's asleep. But in the next verse, next two verses, it's as if she's asleep and he's awake. Isn't that funny? So he's awake. He's alive. He's leaping alive. He's full of resurrection life, you know? But even so, isn't it true that when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't rise up by himself, did he? What happened when Jesus rose from the dead? We were in him, weren't we? Doesn't it say that in Ephesians chapter 1 and 2? We were raised up in him together, in him seated together. Amen? He wasn't by himself in resurrection. And so this resurrected gazelle, this resurrected groom, this resurrected beloved is a picture of the risen Christ who has a body, who has a body that's likened as a wife, as a bride, as a wife, as a helpmate fit for him. And goodness, he just doesn't want to be alone. He doesn't want to leap by himself. Guess what? He's in love. Amen? He loves us. Oh, well, yes, he does. He died for the sinners of the world. Loved them. He loves us. Ephesians chapter 5, you read it. He loves us. And he washes us, and he nurtures us, and he cherishes us like a bridegroom does his wife. Even so, Christ does his church. Isn't it beautiful? His heart. So all of a sudden, that heart of his goes, I can't do this alone. I didn't die on the cross for nothing. I died on the cross for her. To be with me. Take on it. I'm going to scale myself down this mountain. I'm going to find her. Not because I'm mad at her. How could you leave me? No. His heart is not full of condemnation. It's full of love and longing and desire to have her. Can't you feel his heart? Don't you feel a desire that he would have her with him? Do you sense any, like, cruelty? No, you sense love. A need is a better word. It's almost more like, I so need you that I just could only go so long leaping and skipping alone before I didn't feel like leaping and skipping anymore without you. You know, because leaping and skipping is a happy, you know, you're leaping and skipping and singing. He comes on the scene in chapter 1 singing. Now he's leaping and he's skipping. I mean, he's this cheerful dude. But I believe he's cheerful because he has a wife. He has someone. He's not, what does it say in Genesis? That it's not good for man to be alone. And that's just a type and shadow of Christ needing us in this way.
so much so that he was willing to give himself into a death that we might be taken out from him. So he doesn't want to be alone. He wants us. How does that make you feel to know that you are precious to him? Amen. Each and every one of us, members of Jesus, of his body. Oh, it's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To see and know his heart. So he's leaping, but all of a sudden he's taking a detour. He's got to find her. And where does he find her? He finds her in a little room somewhere far away, in a land far away. And she's got a big wall up, and her window is just this little opening. Now, again, this isn't about condemnation. It's about seeing the heart of the one who longs for us to be with him. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It's beautiful. So he peeks through this window. He's looking through the window, gazing through the lattice. I guess there's even a little curtain there. That's okay. He's like, I got a window, I got a wall, and I got a curtain. It ain't going to stop me. If you think a window, a wall, and a curtain is going to stop my love after what I went through on Calvary while you were yet sin, you got another thing coming. This is no problem. No problem. So he's looking through there, and he doesn't go, how could you? You see, he says words of love. My beloved spoke and said, rise up. What does he say? Rise up. What does that mean? Rise up. Come be with me. Come on. Rise up. I'm up here leaping. You're in me. We're together. We're one. Come away. Come away from that little place where I am not. Rise up, my love, my fair one. The winter's past. The rain is over. Flowers appear on the earth. Oh, new life, new life, new life is starting to come forth in the earth. Well, what does the Bible call us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Earthen vessels. And earthen vessels that have a treasure inside, and the treasure's Jesus. Really? Jesus is in us. How about that? Crazy. Crazy wild stuff. But it's true. It is so true. Jesus is in there. He's starting to come. Little life is springing forth. Little flowers. The birds are singing. Seasons are changing. Life is appearing. His life out of us. Our earth. It's an amazing season. The fig tree is putting forth figs. The vine is giving a smell. I mean, fragrant, real Jesus coming out of his body. Those earthen vessels that are his. Isn't it a wonderful thing? It's a wonderful thing. So he's aware of maybe something that she's not aware of. Has there ever been a time where you just did not realize Jesus was growing in you? But he was. I don't even know how to say that. You didn't know little flowers were appearing on your earth and that this little new life of Jesus was starting to come forth. And you're like, I had no idea. I was just sitting in my room crocheting in darkness, waiting for the next whatever, for the next Zoom meeting. And he's going, lady, you've got flowers appearing on your earth. Zoom, zoom, zoom up here with me. I got a Zoom meeting for you on the high places. We're going to Zoom together, and it's not going to be in your little dark technical room. You know what I mean, though? We don't realize that all of that time of sitting under the apple tree and feasting in the chambers and seeing his being with him, we call it abiding. It's a wonderful living thing. It's not a doctrine. It's a relating, relateth continually. Well, goodness, something's happening. Life is growing. It's crazy how that happens, isn't it? But it does. She's not even aware of it. He's aware of it. So he says to her, hey, lady, you got new life popping up in there. I do? Yeah. There's fig trees and vines and birds are even singing over you. Birds are singing? Yeah, the Holy Spirit's been singing over you for a little while now. Oh, I thought that was just whatever. Christ in you. He sees him. That dove sees the Son in you growing. Wait a second. This is way too living. I need a good religious experience tonight. I mean, there's a lot of real life happening in this story, isn't there? Yeah, it's almost a little too much, isn't it? It's almost easier just to go on Zoom and learn deep things, isn't it? And to actually have a real Jesus living in you, a real bridegroom wanting you with him, who happens to leap on mountains at times. Wowza! I'll take it. Take it. So here he is. And then at the end of the little discourse here at 13, he says, rise up again. He's repeating himself from verse 10. Rise up. Come away. That's two times. He starts with rise up, come away. He ends that little discourse with rise up and come away. So he's sandwiching this new life that she's not aware of with rise up and come away. That could be a clue into his heart. But then he continues on in verse 14, and it's so beautiful. He says, oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. So isn't it so cool that he's totally validating her place in him? He is totally validating that even though she is all by herself in her room, kind of separate from where she, if you would, should be if she was with him. But he's still saying, you're not with me, but you are in me. Do you see what I mean? You're not with me like I'd like you to be right now. But you're in me. You're in me. Isn't that an anchor to our souls? Okay, so we miss it. I miss it. I missed it today. I'll probably miss it tomorrow. I'm sure I'm going to miss it next week. I hate that for the Lord's sake, but I need more of the life of Christ formed in me. So, but in that process, when I'm not with him, like he would like me to be with him, I am in him. Because he did that, didn't he? It says we are in him, seated in him, raised up in him. That was what God did. He put us in Christ and accepted us in the Beloved to the praise of the glory of God's grace. So we're in, and he's affirming that. He's not saying you're out until you're with. We say that, don't we? You're out until you're with. He says you're in even though you're not with. And because of that, maybe you want to come be with me. Because you are in. Love. Love. So he says, hey, you're in, but guess what? Let me. Would you let me? Now, this is the Valentine part. Let me see your face. Oh, that's the Beloved asking. For your face is comely. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. This is all the requests of the bridegroom, of the Beloved. This is his Valentine request. Let me. He didn't say, would you please under the law do what's right, finally. For goodness sake. No, for God's sake. Well, for my sake. Well, if you really want to do it for my sake, let me see your face. Oh, what a heart. He could have said anything. Let me hear your voice. He's not asking for that, so we'll be correct. He's asking for that because he says, your voice is sweet, your face is comely. I just miss you. I miss you. I would like you with me. I'm leaping on those mountains, and I can't hear your voice because I'm here, and you're just somewhere else in your room, you know, doing something separate from me. I miss your face. I miss your voice. I miss us being together where I'm at. And, you know, and he saw her sensitivity when she was like, oh, don't awake him, you know. But then this hind took her at his word and became one, woke up. And he misses her. He longs for her. He wants her to be with him when that season change comes. And he starts waking up and jumping. He just doesn't want to do that alone because he's not anymore. We're his bones, we're his flesh, we're the place he lives. Well, I hear so much love in that. I truly do. It's just a beautiful thing. And then after he just affirms to her that she's in him and expresses how he longs for her voice, her face, then in verse, I believe it's 15, he says, "But catch us the foxes, the little foxes that steal the vine or hurt the vines, for our vines have tender grapes." And I have written underneath that, catch what might stop the life from coming forth. Catch what might hinder that life from coming out. Because it's the little foxes that spoil vines. And vines are where the tender new life is trying to come out. Come on, I want to live. I want to live. I want to live. You know? And somehow that little fox is trying to prevent that new life, right? And so again, it's that heart request saying, take away the things that are trying to stop the life. Let me. You know, in the beginning he said, let me kiss you with the kisses of my mouth. But now he's saying, let me live in you. And isn't it beautiful that in all things he says, let me, not you do. It's oh so different now because it's him that does the living. He is the life. And we are just his vessel. And it's a whole different feel, isn't it, when it's the Lord who does the living. And the fruit is his fruit from just being and abiding instead of earning and working and getting better. And yikes, we're running right back into Ecclesiastes when we do that. Vanity and vexation of spirit. So he requests for her to do that. And, she... Verse 17, the last verse of this little discussion ends with her saying, until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, turn away, my beloved. You be a gazelle. You be a young stag. You go leap on the mountains of Bethair. I think Bethair might mean separation. So she's saying, you go leap on the mountains of separation. She's giving herself away. So it sounds so spiritual. But in reality, I believe that she is, saying, I'm not ready for this yet. I don't have enough life yet. I am not where I need to be. There's too many shadows. There's too many. The day star, Christ hasn't risen up enough in me. The day hasn't broke. The sun, Jesus, S-O-N, hasn't gotten high enough in my heart yet. There's too many things that are just not fulfilled by life, but shadowy. But isn't it the bridegroom's? Isn't it his to know where we're at spiritually? I mean, if he is saying, rise up and come away, if he is saying there's flowers in your earth, he knows. He's the head. He's the head of the body. He has the eyes. The eyes are in the head. And Colossians tells us that, Jesus is the head of his body. He sees. He sees the real condition of his members, that we are, those of who are born again, are members of Jesus, members of his risen body. He's the head of that risen body, and the eyes are in the head. So he really, and if he says, hey, you have flowers on your earth. Hey, rise up. Come on. And we might not have an evil heart of unbelief or a rebellious spirit or anything like that. We might in humility be saying, I'm just not ready. I don't have enough life. And at certain times that was probably true, wasn't it? And in other ways, it's still, it's not, I'm not saying that that's a negative heart. It's just maybe she's not truly aware that he actually sees what she doesn't of his life in her. And that he's actually okay that not everything is perfectly Christ yet, but there's enough for life to come out. Isn't it his to discern that? The seasons of the sun. It's God to discern the seasons of his son in us. It's us to just let him leap and live and be where he is at in us. And so when she says, go be a gazelle and leap, and then she adds on the mountains of separation, which is what Bethair means, it's quite a sad moment for our Valentine. He feels in the most tender way rejected, possibly, because he so wanted her with him. He longed for that fellowship and oneness in those places of his living. And so it's a sad moment. And what does he do? He actually responds to her request. He separates himself. She actually told him to go leap away. And he did. And she found herself alone in her bed at night without him. And you know, there's been times when I thought, well, maybe the Lord was, you know, maybe he was, you know, chastising her, or maybe he was wounded and he left. Maybe so. Who am I to know that? But when I read it this time, I kind of get the feeling that he just responded to her request. She said, go, and he did. But he didn't want to. And when he left, he probably felt sad and rejected and lonely, especially because he was so darn excited to have her. He's been singing, leaping, and skipping, loving and apples and, you know, all this wonder. And then at the height of it up to this point, she's like, no, you go. Well, chapter 3 starts with, by night, on my bed, I sought the one I love. I sought him, but I found him not. Now the reality is hitting her. And of course, that is a devastating thing when you really love the Lord. And then all of a sudden you go, oh my goodness, I missed it. No, I missed him. But of course, the Lord's love never fails. However, those moments do come. Those seasons do come when these things happen. But there's a beautiful thing that happens in her heart. And it's so preciously worded in the next verse, verse 2. She says, I will rise now. Now, what a beautiful sentence. Because he kept saying, rise up and come away. And she wouldn't do it. I will not. You go. I'm not going to rise yet. I'm not ready. No, it's not right. But immediately she starts seeking him, and the first thing out of her mouth is, I will rise now. She may have been a day late and a dollar short, but she did it. Amen. She did it, by golly. She figured it out eventually, and she said, I ain't going to let this keep going. You know, this dark night needs to end soon. So she starts running through the streets. Have you seen? I mean, she's, you know, we might call that passion, because it is. But isn't it funny that even in her place of missing him, there's so much passion? Isn't it true? She's still showing forth her love in that moment of even failing him. You know, you can still love him, can't you? You still can. You can always give him your heart. Sometimes I think we get so under a cloud of our own, not God's, but our own, I failed, that we almost become worse than the devil. And you know what I mean? And just putting this, he doesn't want you. He is too upset with you. But that's not true of him. I bet when he saw her running through those streets, it touched his heart. She was seeking him. She did rise up. And, well, praise the Lord. I mean, praise the Lord. And she just kept going. She just kept going. And the watchmen go about the city, found me. Have you seen the one I love? You know, watchmen, I have no clue what they represent, but I've thought of them sometimes as like the ones who might be like the policemen with the laws. I'm like, what are you doing running around the street? Past curfew or whatnot. And she just ran right past them. You know, this is not the time for focusing on curfew. This is not the time for focusing on my failures. No place for regret right now. There's one thing important. One thing will I seek after, and that is, where is my beloved? If you see him, tell him, I am sick with love. I'm sorry. I'm in. I'm ready to leave. You know, she's not going, oh, excuse me. What am I doing this wrong? Should I be taking a left down, you know, that other street? Should I walk a little slower? Forget it. She's not thinking in that realm. She's thinking about H-I-M, H-I-M. And so she's going. She is going for it. And this is the beautiful thing
Verse 4, scarcely had I passed them by, which she passed them by. She passed right by them. And you know, sometimes the watchman can become a substitute for Jesus, for finding your beloved. You may be a wonderful watchman. Here's another view of them. You may be a wonderful watchman that helps me to find the Lord maybe at times, but you are not him, and I'm going right past you. I need to find Jesus. Thank you for being a watchman, but you're not my beloved. I got to have him. He's my Valentine. He's the one I love. So she keeps going. She finally, scarcely had I passed them, I found the one I love. And here's the beautiful part. I held him. I wouldn't let him go until, that's paramount, until I brought him to the house of my mother, to the chamber of her who conceived me. This holding of him, I believe, is likened unto bringing him in the womb. A mother's home, the chamber, is like where a baby would grow, the womb, the chamber of my mother's home, the chamber of her who conceived. I think of that as a womb, and I've heard that in many commentaries. However, you can just consider that before the Lord. But if that might be the case, then she's saying, I have to bring you into being my life. It's no longer just good enough to be in you. You need to be in me. I had a lot of in you in chapter 1, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. However, when you and me wanted to start leaping in my womb, I went back to separation. This time, I'm going to bring you in to me just like you brought me into you, because this is a two-way road. I abide in you, but you want to abide in me. And you want to live through me and at times leap through me. And so I am not just going to sit under the apple tree and abide in all day and not let you live in me. So she took him in. She opened the door and said, you can officially live through me now. And if you would like to leap, you have permission. You have permission to be my life. Whatever season you're in, I'm with you. And that's pretty important. Because those are the things she wasn't open to just a few verses back. But can't you see the love that happened, both from him and back from her? They both loved each other until they came into that place where they were meant to be in the season that was really where he was, therefore where she is, because she is not just in him, but his home. I mean, they're together. I mean, they're bound up. She lives in him, but he lives in her. So there's a togetherness that's a oneness here that really you can't separate even if you do. There comes a point where you don't want to live in the darkness of where he is not. You have to be where he is. And that's the Valentine's Day message for today. I have my Valentine's Day colors on just to say, hey, he had a request. Let me hear your voice. Let me see your face. I'm leaping. I want you with me. I miss you. I'm even willing to come back down and peek through your wall and just open up my heart again and again so that you can hear and be drawn back in and drawn back up and drawn to where I'm at until, you know what, that habitation that is your heart breaks down the walls, opens the windows, creates a huge door and says, come in and live. You know, she had a wall, a window, and a curtain, and now she's got a big wide open mother's chamber, which says, don't just come into my room and have tea. Come into the womb and be life. Amen. Come into the womb and be life. That's better than come into the room and sup. I mean, she is literally saying, I want you as my, I want to bring forth Christ. I want the baby to come out of me. I want fruit unto God through Jesus Christ. And I want that fruit to be living, leaping, loving, alive Jesus. Isn't it beautiful? And oh, my goodness, it just opened up a whole new realm of life. The whole Song of Songs is a progression of how this relationship blossoms and builds as the loving continues. Truly. Based on what he already made us when he died and rose again. But it finds its feet. It finds its fruit. It finds its flow
as she comes to know him, know not in knowledge, but in the knowing that surpasses knowledge and fills us with all the fullness of God. My goodness. What a wonderful Valentine's Day message from the heart of Jesus. Just calling us with longing, with love, with affirmation, with desire, with hope. And I just feel that, you know, and I know that I need this, but I know that I'm a we are his together. And he's longing for us because we are his body. A body isn't one member or two, it's all the members. And together we leap, together he lives. We were raised together and we were seated together and we are the legs and the body together. So may he just be so loved, not just today, but every day. May his heart, may his spirit guide us into the seasons of where he's at. May we hear his voice. May we hear beyond the voice into the heart. And as we hear, may we find him whom our soul loves beyond teaching until we actually bring him into the womb of our spirit and give him place to be who he is. Amen. So Lord, we just thank you for this loving letter, love in the Song of Songs. Thank you for the heart from whence it was sung, from the eternal heart from whence the song was sung and continues to be sung and is singing even now in our ears and into our hearts in such a manner that we can sing back, not just to you like in worship at a service, but with you in oneness as we leap together, as your life leaps within the womb of our heart, as it is so much more than just a religion, just a thing we do. It's a oneness where you are in us. We are in you. There is no mountain of separation, but one after your kind, out from your side. One who is yours, both now and for worlds without end. We are yours. And we want to minister to your heart in the ways that you need. We love you. In Jesus' name. Amen.